Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today is February the 3rd, 2021, and this is our Whole Life Healing program with Dr. Alex Lloyd, where he addresses deep waters or spiritual laws of nature. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be assisting Alex today. Before we hear from Alex, I wanted to share this short disclaimer. This is actually a time for you to interact with Alex, and I'll give you some instructions on how to do that. But before we start, this presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan, or possibly you if you choose to share. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And so this is a time for you to interact with Alex. He did post a new video on YouTube this week, and that was the one entitled Dealing with Negativity. So if you have any comments or would like to ask questions about that or anything for that matter, Alex is here for you. So Alex, hello.
Hey, Johanna. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Welcome, everyone. Wherever you're listening from and whenever you're listening from, we realize most people don't come live because of their schedule. That's fine. That's why we record it and post it. It's always interesting to me how people respond to these things. My son, Harry, if you've noticed in our newsletters, he writes what we call a postulate, which is basically him saying in about five words what it takes me like 25 or 30 minutes to say. And his postulate is always my favorite part of it. But anyway, I'll frequently ask him, hey, what did you think about the teaching? And about this teaching, when I asked him a few weeks ago, he said, kind of basic. And it just amazes me because I've heard from so many people already this week about, oh, I just love the teaching this week. And it helped me this way, and it made me think about something in a way I've never thought about it, and all of that. So and the lesson to me is just that we're all in different places. And that's why I try to address, you know, some deeper stuff, some lighter stuff, some stuff in the middle. So hopefully there'll be something that's a benefit to everyone or almost everyone. But, yeah, the one this week is dealing with negativity. And I think what a lot of people don't ever realize is exactly how their mind and brain and nervous system and their memories work. Most people have heard that everything that's ever happened to them is recorded. They know that. So it's in some hard drive or database somewhere. A lot of people have heard now, because this research has been out for a number of years, that they have memories passed down from their ancestors, which has now been proven, both through the sperm and through the RNA. And but they don't really understand kind of how that works. And one of the ways it works is that every single memory you could theoretically put on a minus 10 to plus 10 negative to positive ratio. So you might have one memory that is a sad memory from your childhood that's, say, a minus 3 or 4. And then you may have a really happy memory from your childhood that's a plus 3 or 4. And also, you could look at all of your memories and thoughts and feelings, and you have an overall minus 10 to plus 10 ratio, where overall, considering all memories, all thoughts, all feelings, including those inherited from past generations, maybe you're a minus 2 or a plus 4 or something like that. But that is really about how it works. And so if your ratio is positive enough, and I would say that's probably anywhere from a negative 2 up to a plus 10, then typically you have fairly positive thoughts and feelings and emotions, and your actions are not too extreme, and you have a pretty good life. If your ratio is negative 3 overall or lower, like to negative 10, then chances are you struggle daily to get through the day, to be joyful, to not have a bunch of addictions and habits and things like that. And so really, honestly, every day you should be about the business of dumping a bucket of negativity out of yourself and putting a bucket of positivity and love-based things into yourself. And if you do that simple thing, almost like brushing your teeth or washing your hair or doing your laundry or whatever it is, then over time, your life is going to get better and better and better. The problem is most people don't think that way. Not only do they not do that, that never even occurs to them. They just think, well, I think the way I think, and I feel the way I feel, and that's just it, okay? Well, let me tell you, that is not it. Just like a computer does what you program it to do and the software that you put in it, and if it gets viruses, this is one thing that's always amazed me, is that people would never go 1 week with a virus on their computer that was keeping them from doing computer stuff. I mean, they would go nuts if that went on for more than a week. And they'll do whatever they have to do. They'll change their schedule. They'll pay a lot of money. They'll go to a lot of inconvenience. But they will not, but with themselves and their lives and their heart and their mind and their positivity or negativity in life, they will go decades or even their entire life without ever addressing that one time. And that is a real tragedy to me. And sort of in a nutshell, that's kind of what I've been trying to do for 30 years, is help people shift their internal state more and more and more positive, I would call that love-based, and away from negative and fear-based. And if you need a reason for that besides what I've already told you, the best one I know is that according to my good friend Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who wrote the wonderful bestseller Who Switched Off Your Brain, we have no mechanisms in us for the negative, not a single one, zero. Every mechanism in us is for the positive. And so if you are experiencing negative emotions, negative thoughts, negative feelings, negativity in your body long term, you can be guaranteed 100% of the time it is a malfunctioning, or to say it another way, you are malfunctioning. Okay? So start treating yourself like you would treat your computer and keep those viruses off. Get the very best software for the things that you want to do and the life that you want to live, and love and joy and peace and success and prosperity and great relationships and all of that. And especially since today there are so many tools that we have that can change that negativity in a matter of minutes, days, or weeks, where 30, 40 years ago, about the only options took months or years or even never. Nothing will ever change it. So that's kind of what this teaching is about. And so please watch that and to get an idea of how you work. And if you're experiencing something negative, I guarantee you that's why you are. And it can be fixed, okay? We can be restored back to our defaults that we came from the factory. So that's it for me, Johanna.
Okay. We have one hand up, and I'm going to unmute your line. I think it's our dear Marilyn.
Good Good morning. Yes, it is. And good afternoon to you over there, because it's morning here, though. Alex, I really have appreciated the last three videos so much I got out of them to heal. But the interesting thing is, when I listened to the introduction this past couple of weeks, the word love is spiritual keeps kind of, I really hear it. And I think, okay. So my question this morning is, can you expand on love is spiritual for me, please?
Yeah, I'll try to. To me, the spiritual is also the realm of the miraculous. It's the realm of God. It's the realm of spirituality. Based on statistics, 97% of all people on earth believe in God or a spiritual reality, which is really amazing, because on almost any other belief you can name, the predominant belief is the one that there's the most empirical evidence for, all right? And this goes all the way back to Galileo being put in jail for looking through a telescope and suggesting that everything didn't revolve around the earth and that sort of thing, as well as, you know, for centuries, the earth was flat until somebody because it looked flat. The best empirical evidence we have with our eyes is that it looks flat, and no matter how far you drive, you don't seem to be going in a circular curve. We know now it's just so gradual that you don't notice it, but you are. Okay? So once we had new empirical evidence, the earth isn't flat, it's round, then the predominant belief changed, and the same with astronomy. But to me, the natural beliefs, the natural belief would not be love, it would be self-interest. It would be survival of the fittest. And that's how, and everything on earth works in the natural. I mean, stimulus response, action reaction, karma, you reap what you sow, the law of attraction, gravity, Newton's laws of motion, everything works that way. Everything. There's not one single exception. But then when you get into the realm of, let's say, quantum physics, which still today nobody really perfectly understands, in the realm of quantum physics, there is a postulate that anything is possible. And one of the classic examples, I read this in one scientific paper, is that if you went up, in quantum physics, if you went up to a brick wall and kept banging your head against it over and over and over, that one of those times you would go straight through the brick wall with no injury or headache even at all. Okay, and that's the realm of quantum physics. Anything is possible. Well, to me, the realm of quantum physics and the realm of the spiritual are connected. I believe that maybe intimately connected. But to me, love violates survival of the fittest and self-interest. One of my really good friends who is very, very famous, I think three number one best-selling New York Times books and lectures all over the place and everything. And their premise, everything that they do is built on that self-interest is the secret and the key to life. Well, I love that person. They love me. When I see them, I hug them, and we kiss each other on the cheek. We stay in each other's homes. We have meals together. But I could not disagree with them more about that tenet. I believe self-interest is survival of the fittest and natural law, where love is supernatural law. I mean, you get a situation, Marilyn, with love where a house is burning down, and the woman runs back into the burning house to save the cat, and everyone tries to keep her from going back. So, no, 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 it's too late. There's no way. If you go back in that house, you'll die. They cannot keep her out of the house. She runs back into that house knowing full well there's a good chance I'm going to die doing this. She does it anyway. Well, without the love for that cat, you could not force her into the house. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen examples of that by the thousands through the years where someone puts their own life in jeopardy for love of another person or an animal or something like that. That is not self-interest. That is love. And love does not make sense in a world of survival of the fittest and self-interest. It doesn't make sense because self-interest and survival of the fittest is to keep myself alive and to always do what is best for me. And that's the outcome I'm always looking for. Now, self-interest will try love to see if it gives them something that is really great for them. The difference is they will not commit to it open-ended because if it doesn't work, no way they're going to keep doing that because they're committed to self-interest. So if they start doing love and love doesn't work and all it yields is pain and suffering, no way are they going to keep doing it. Well, that's not real love in the first place. That's calling it love but doing self-interest, all right? So to me, that Marilyn, that's the difference. And it might seem, you know, like there's not a lot of difference, but it is the Grand Canyon of difference. It is all the difference, and it's the difference that makes that makes the difference in your life and whether you really are able to live in real, true love or you never get there because you're not willing to let go of the self-interest.
Yeah, thank you. And sort of listening to these last few weeks, it's that healing those fears to enable you to let go, all those negatives that you have which stop you from letting go.
Right,
to find the spiritual love.
Right. Well, and to me, love means I'm going to commit to do what's best for this other person, whoever is the object of my love, even if it hurts me. Self-interest won't do that. I mean, not unless there's some big payday down the road. I mean, if it's going to hurt me, no way, man. We're going to find another way, all right?
Yeah.
But you don't get to real love without releasing that, where I'm making myself open to the possibility of getting clobbered. And I'm okay with it. If I get clobbered, I'm okay with that. I know that full well going in, but I choose love anyway. Even if it means more pain for me instead of less. Even if it means less pleasure for me instead of more. Even if that's long term.
Okay. Thank you.
But a magic thing happens when you do that, because real love is the greatest power on planet Earth. So if you ever get to that place where you honestly can and do make that commitment from your heart, it will change everything inside of you. And you'll feel like you're an eagle flying all of a sudden and wow, I know this is what I've been looking for all my life. And it's not a Shangri-La secret place in the mountains. It's inside of you and your heart.
Yeah, I feel that I'm working towards it, but there's just that little part of me sometimes that, yeah, afraid to take that step. But
that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I think all of us go through that. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Mm. Yeah. As I said, these videos are very helpful. I got a custom trilogy from Johanna. for the last 2 weeks, which have really, which have been massive unforgiveness issues.
Yeah.
And I really sort of felt the difference from doing those trilogies, because unforgiveness is such a big issue.
Good. I'll give you a preview. We work about 3 weeks ahead, and yesterday Harry wrote the postulate to the one that we're doing this week, which won't be posted for about 3 weeks. And it just absolutely blew me away. And it was that any meaningful definition of forgiveness is a return to a state of love, or a going to a state of love. And I've never put that anywhere close to that succinctly in 35 years, but he's exactly right. That's really what forgiveness is. It's returning to a state of love, or for the first time going to a state of love about that person or thing or situation. So you'll see that in about 3 weeks. But
okay.
Maybe you can use it this week.
Yeah. No, I have found healing on this unforgiveness issue. I really can feel my thoughts changing. In a very positive way. In a very positive way.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, Johanna?
Yes, okay, we have another hand up. I believe this is Glenn. I'm going to unmute your line. Okay.
It is indeed. Hi, Johanna. Hi, Dr. Alex. How you doing?
Hey, Glenn. How's California?
I don't want to tell you, Dr. Alex.
Well, it's a beautiful day in Tennessee today, so that's all right.
Good. That's great. It'll be about 80. I think it'll be about 80 here today. But,
but 80. You shouldn't have said it.
but we did have a rainy day last week, just to make you feel better.
Oh, a rainy day last week. Okay.
Last week, just to make you feel better.
All right.
I had a comment and a question on what we're talking about. I went to hear a famous holy rabbi some years ago, who is very well known in the Jewish community for being a holy man, for somebody who's a great, cares about people and does so many good deeds, and he's the kind of like the leader of so many people, and they revere him. So he was speaking, and he said, you know, everybody says to me, oh, you know, what a great man I am, and for all the good that I do. He says, people, I have to tell you, can I be honest with you? I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me.
Yeah,
I know the only way I can get where I want to go is to do as much good as I can and to help as many people as I can. That's it. That's the only way.
Yeah.
We were kind of floored. I just wondered, that's kind of like the other way around of looking at that. Do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I think it is, but here's the difference. Here's the difference. Love is committed to that, what you just said, no matter what happens. Okay? Self-interest says, well, okay, that's an interesting thought. I'll try that and see if it works for me. But, you know, there's some time limit. Now, the time limit may be a week. It may be 5 years. But if the person is in self-interest, there is some time limit where if they keep doing that and are not getting back what they want, they'll stop and go back to something else that is more instant gratification oriented and under their control. That's the difference. Real love, there's no time limit. It's all in, no safety net, forever, no matter what. And that's the difference. But yes, and I do believe that committing to love, I do have an inner knowing that this is what is best for me, too. So, you know, it's win-win, or I call it win-win-win. But that's the difference to me, is that two people may say that exact same thing. One of them will be in love. One of them will be in self-interest. How do you tell the difference? The one in self-interest, there'll be a point where they will say, "Well, this is for the dogs. I'm just continually getting punched in the face, or punched in the face metaphorically. I'm trying a different tack." Where the person who's committed to love, they never waver. In fact, the love becomes greater and greater and greater all the time.
Got it. I see the difference. I think the rabbi was talking about in his spiritual path, whatever the path is, whether it's easy or hard, that's the only way to get where he wants to go, where he wants us all to go, which is back in union with God.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with that.
So I have a question for you now. We all believe in the power of prayer. I'm sure you do, right? In fact, you pray for people for healing, for physical healing, right? You believe in that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I had two experiences I wanted to just get your opinion on. I used to belong to a regular non-denominational, traditional Christian church where people would pray for healing for people, and lay hands. And it was pretty much the traditional, standard religious thing that, we all grew up with. And over the years, I would notice that the people that we would pray for, by and large, didn't get healed. In fact, most of them, if they had a problem, they would succumb to it. So like the batting average there was about, 90% don't make it and 10% make it. So,
yeah.
After a while, I stopped going to that church. I thought, the percentages there aren't too great.
Yeah.
And then I went to began with a spiritual fellowship who taught about energy and who taught about God kind of the way I think we understand it, not in a dogma religious way, but as an energetic presence of kindness and love that we can connect to. And that when they would pray for people, it was 90%, 95% healing rate.
Yeah.
The people that they pray for, 95% of them, it was just the exact opposite of that traditional church. Now,
right.
We were praying to the same God, and we had the same intentions, but the results were different because one people were, well, I don't know. Give me your opinion. That's what I'm asking you for. One was religious and one was more energetic. And the energetic seemed to get more results. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think, first of all, that I don't know the definitive answer to that question. I'm happy to give you my two cents, but know that up front. I think one of the problems there is our perception of pain and suffering and health problems. In the Bible, as well as some other ancient manuscripts, pain is not the big bad thing that most of us see it as. In fact, in the Bible, pain is largely talked about as a positive. There's one passage that says, when you go through all these different kinds of pains, people making fun of you, people ridiculing you, and I think that applies all the way down to physical illness and pain as well. It says, count it all joy. And then it says, because going through that pain will do this, going through that will do this, going through that will do this, and the end result is you will become the best version of yourself. That we tend to grow as people not by what feels good, but by pain. And Dr. Paul Brand, a medical doctor, wrote a wonderful book called Pain, the Gift That Nobody Wants. You ought to read it if you get a chance. And in the book, he's talking about this issue and that the most dreaded disease probably of all time, leprosy, was actually where the people's pain receptors would turn off and they didn't feel pain anymore. And so they would bump into things and bruise badly their arms or legs or hip or whatever, but they wouldn't know that because they didn't feel it, and so they didn't protect that bruise, and so they kept hitting it again over and over and over and over again. And then over in India and places like that, where they, you know, that they weren't sleeping in houses like we think of in the West, and, you know, animals and rodents would come into the house and might even start to nibble on them, and they would never move. They didn't feel it. And then they would end up getting sickness from those animals and from the contusions in their body and broken bones that they didn't even know were there because they couldn't feel pain. And you get the idea that those people would give anything to feel pain. And he was talking as a medical doctor that pain is one of the greatest gifts to our health we have. As soon as you have a pain, you start thinking, okay, what might be out of balance here? What can I do to fix that? As opposed to not having that pain, you might be dead in 3 months if you didn't, you know, address it in some way, where if you do address it, it may be no big deal at all. And I think illness, disease, suffering, pain, all that sort of thing, we have a very skewed view of it, most of us, from our Western upbringing, where anything pain is bad and get the pain to go away as quickly as possible. One thing in therapy that you might find interesting, my main field is psychology, is, you know, if someone is really upset and crying and weeping, maybe something just absolutely devastating has happened, like their spouse killed in a accident or something, and they are just gasping for air, kind of weeping. And when we see someone like that, what we want to do is run in and hug them or put a hand on them or whatever. And sometimes that's the best thing to do. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the person needs to go through that in a way alone. And if they can do that, then they'll get to the other side much, much, much faster. You've probably heard that thing like with AA and addiction recovery about hitting bottom. And there's a great deal of truth to that. Some people can never heal and get to their best life until they hit bottom. So in those cases, well-meaning people that love them and that are around them, they keep rescuing them from hitting bottom, which unbeknownst to them is making it longer and longer, and sometimes longer is they never get there to their best possible life because they needed to hit bottom in order to get there. So I think that's part of the equation. I believe also that the energy healing community, I would have expected exactly what you just said. I would have expected the place that was more into energy healing to have much greater results than the people who basically just prayed only, because there is a physical healing mechanism in our energy systems. So they were not only praying, they were praying, but they were also believing and activating a healing system that the other people would not even probably acknowledge even exist. So that's kind of like, you know, they were taking two medicines instead of one in my book. But as far as the purely praying for someone and giving that up to God, you know, I think God, one of my favorite movies was Rudy, about the football player. I grew up in sports, and I love that movie. Have it recorded and watch it every once in a while still today. And there's a key line in that movie where Rudy is going through some you know, terrible turmoil himself. And the advice from the old priest is, I've come to one inevitable conclusion in 30 years of ministry, and it's that there is a God, and I'm not him. and that's kind of how I feel about that as well, Glenn, as far as strictly just the praying part. But I would refer you to a wonderful book called Reinventing Medicine by Larry Dossey, M.D., who's a wonderful, wonderful medical doctor and writer, where he cites several double-blind studies that absolutely show that people who were prayed for had a better outcome in every single measurable than people who were not prayed for, and none of them had any idea they were being prayed for or not. They did not know in any of those situations. So I do believe there's great power there, and to me, the most important thing I do every day is pray. But to me, that's relational, because I believe I have a relationship with a living God, just like I have a relationship with Hope, my wife. Well, if I never talk to my wife, our relationship's going to go downhill pretty quick. So the stronger that relationship is between me and God, probably the better outcomes I'm going to have in situations like that. And I know that's probably not a very fulfilling answer, Glenn, but it's the best one I've got.
Yeah, I've learned so much out of what you just said. You really clarified it. That's it. The ability to activate that energetic healing mechanism, force, whatever you call that, and I think that was the difference. I mean, there's got to be some difference between, you know, 90% failure and then 90% success rate, because you're praying to the same God. There just must be some difference. I think what you said is absolutely accurate. It's the knowledge and activation of that energy force, and believing that force can work. So
before I ever wrote a book, I would go to health fairs, and they were all over the United States. Some of them were in other countries, and there were two other doctors I'd go to those with, and we would set up a little booth, and we would do basically energetic healing samples, if you will, on people. And we had a medical test, heart rate variability, that we would do pre and post. And then if the people, you know, were impressed and felt it was worth it, they would sign up to work with us over the next month or two. Well, I have no idea how many free sessions I did with people over those years. And it was years, but it had to be in the thousands. And, Glenn, I can never remember working with someone where the pain or discomfort, whether physical or non-physical, did not go down at least 50%. And we're talking within minutes. And the great majority, 99%, would go away completely in minutes. And so, yeah, that we do have a mechanism in us that is an energetic healing mechanism. And if you know how to use it, it can be quite remarkable at times. But I do believe that ultimate healing comes from God.
Sure. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Alex. What a wonderful
Sure, Glenn.
Answer you gave me. I feel very blessed. Appreciate
well,
it.
Well, always
so
great
much.
To hear from you, my friend.
Thank you.
Johanna? Johanna, are you there?
Hi, Alex. Yeah, I was chatting away. There are no other hands up, and okay. No comments in the Q&A, typed in. So I think that's it for our questions today, Alex.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. I love you. And please watch the YouTube, because it goes into way, way, way more detail than I went today. And thank you, Johanna. Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we're going to switch gears. If anyone would like to get a custom trilogy or a custom healing code, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. So our first caller, your number ends in 5920, 5920, and your line is open.
Hi, Johanna. This is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I got a trilogy a couple weeks ago, and I like a fresh one.
Okay. And what is it that you're feeling? What is the negative feeling or belief you're experiencing with this?
I'm addressing a condition, lymphedema, and right now I'm learning a little bit more about it. And I guess I'm a bit in the feeling of shock. I've been to the doctor. He's not convinced it's lymphedema. He's running a bunch of tests. But anyways, it's just like a swelling and everything. But as I learn more about it, I'm feeling shock and powerlessness and a bit of panic.
Oh, sorry. When you think about how you're feeling right now about this condition, is there any early memory that comes up where you can recall feeling the same kind of fear?
The one thing that just popped in my mind was when I was 14, I had to be admitted in the hospital because I had a life and death like surgery. So it was very serious.
And how strong is that fear and that memory?
I've been working on that a lot, so it's not too strong, maybe about a 4.
Okay. Okay, well, we can continue to heal that memory, but let's get a fresh one for the feelings and the beliefs, negative thoughts and feelings about this condition.
Okay.
Say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear issue. Okay, good. Okay, first we're going to do the tapping from the eyebrows to the side of the hand.
Okay.
Okay, then we're going to customize. Okay, I want you to do middle of the chest, collarbone, under the arms, then we're going to go under the nose, chin, and then up to the eyebrows. We're going to go to the little finger, thumb, and then up to the collarbones, and then do the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, healing code. Both hands below the belly button. Then leave the left hand below the belly button and put the right hand on the high bridge. And then both hands on the pointing at the Adam's apple. And then both hands touching the brain stem.
Okay.
Okay, then we have the governing and conception and energy centers. Okay, start at the base. Slide up without stopping 3 times. Then go to the solar plexus. And you're going to hold there for a few seconds. Slide up to the throat. And pause there. Slide up to the crown. Pause. Slide back all the way down to the base. Pause, and then slowly move up, pausing at each center for, 4 to 6 seconds or however long you feel comfortable. Now, after you've done that, you can go back and repeat the healing code.
Okay.
All right.
So a couple questions. One mm-hmm. is, how many times a day should I do this?
I would do this at least two times a day.
Two?
Two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also, other times you had me on like a three-day rotation. Would you recommend that again?
I would say your primary categories, yeah, are going to be, okay, peace and joy.
Okay.
So if you wanted to do peace and joy, one day peace, one day joy, and then go through a third one, whatever other category, you could do that. Look for any time you have felt fear.
Okay. What's the opposite of peace when for that?
Love.
Time? And the body system?
The body system is gastrointestinal system.
Okay.
Joy is like the skin,
okay.
The hair.
Mm-hmm. And what about the lymphatic system? Is that another category I should focus on or not?
The love category is a good one, the love. But that's where I'd like you to primarily focus on peace and joy and then go through the other categories.
Okay.
Now, if you do the relationship issue finder, you'll get some hints as to which categories you might want to prioritize as far as a rotation goes.
Okay.
So whatever lower scores are, I would put that into the rotation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay. I think I'm going to unmute Marilyn. Hi,
yes,
Marilyn.
Yes, you are. Good morning again. I'm still healing on my relationship with my mother. And I'm still doing the trilogy you gave me, but this morning, just before this call, I woke up and I could feel my stress levels there, and a memory came up when I was in my mid-30s. I'd lost quite a bit of weight over a period of time, and I found, though, when I got down to the weight that I had was, you know, aiming for, I suddenly just wanted to stuff myself with food. And I was horrified because I knew I'd put all this weight back on. And a friend recommended a kinesiologist to me. And so I went to see her, and I was talking to her. I thought about this weight problem, all this, you know, fear of putting all this weight back on. And she said to me, "You were talking about your mother." And I said, "No, I'm not." And from what she said, I was actually talking about my mum, but I was hearing words coming out about my weight. And so she started to do kinesiology with me, and I went back for a second treatment. And in the middle of her doing what they do, I just come up with, "I don't want to love my mother." And it was like this tremendous weight was lifted off me when I said that. And I feel that is still here, that energy of "I don't want to love my mother." It's just
mm-hmm.
hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if I look at my life, if anyone looking on the outside would never ever feel that this was an issue. I mean, it never appeared from outward appearance. And I'm not saying Mum was, you know, mean or nasty, although I feel kindness was probably lacking. It didn't appear any different, but that's the feeling, and I just sort of feel like I'm worn out. I mean, my mother passed away 6 years ago, but the feeling is tired.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't know whether to add this in or not, but my mother told me she never wanted me when she was
mm-hmm.
pregnant with me. She was angry at Dad because she told me she blamed Dad for getting her pregnant. But I did another energy healing before the healing codes called AFT, and I did go and do a session where the gentleman who taught it, and that subject came up, and he said, "No," he said, your mother was actually angry with your dad and deliberately got pregnant with you because she was angry at your dad. So I don't know whether that is part of this. I don't know. But my mother sort of, I would probably, having done the abuse call with Alex. I feel that my mother was emotionally abusive towards me. She told me I'd never succeed. And you didn't just sort of say it once. It's I don't know. I sort of also from doing the healing I've been doing from the tellers you give me, what's come up this week is that I do believe my parents love me, but I never felt that they were loving. I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of swirly emotions around this. And I think, again, it comes back to I just feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've tried and I just can't do it. I feel like I should, but I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's what you want to address. If you desire to forgive, so, but, you know, we're working on the areas that are
up.
Not.
It still comes, it still comes up, that feeling of I can't forgive.
Those are two limiting.
Yeah,
so there's limiting beliefs. One of them saying you can't. The other one is I don't want to. I don't want to because it's too much work. I don't want to. These are all limiting beliefs that can be addressed. So I'd say that's the category you can look at. And you can also look at other things, other times in your life when you felt those same feelings about anything. I don't want to. It's too hard. I'm too tired. I don't have the energy. You know, all of these kind of, limiting beliefs is the category.
I could think of all the times I've tried to succeed at something, and that is the energy. I could never succeed. It was just too much work. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have any support.
Okay, so that's going to be your category. And you can look at your relationship with your mother and the way you're reacting or responding right now, but also look at any other areas in your life where you've had those same kind of limiting beliefs.
Yeah, I sort of felt, it was up to me. If I was going to do anything, I had to do it myself. There was never felt that there was, I can remember asking a friend, would he put a shelf up in my room to put books on? And he came with the hammer and the nails and the board and said, well, I'll show you, but you have to do it. And then a friend, because he lived on the property and there were several of us, this other female, she wanted something done, and, he fell over himself to do it for her. And it's like, I don't know whether I wasn't pretty enough or whatever, but, it's like, yeah, you're big enough, you're tough enough, you can do it yourself. Whereas the other females in my life, everyone just sort of fell over them and what can I do there? Let me do it. And you know what I mean?
Okay, there's some other questions, doubts, fears about you not being good enough. So, I'd say that's why it's all coming up right now. That's a category in itself. And you could probably camp out there for a little while, and just be really still. And just see which ones are really presenting themselves at any given time. But, let's get a trilogy. And I'd say the primary category is going to be the unhealthy and limiting beliefs.
Yeah, I believe that one.
Okay, say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The limiting beliefs. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is, like the ones that you've just mentioned today, you can jot them down and then rate them on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
One of the strongest ones is I just can't. I just can't. I don't care what she says, what she gives me to do, it's just not going to work, That kind of feeling. So let's address that first. Because, I believe, you can do anything like Alex was saying in the quantum realm. When we choose to tap into that realm, anything is possible. I was thinking while Alex was sharing today, there's this quote, and I don't know where I read this, but I wrote it down because it's real simple, but it's pretty powerful. It says, the heart connects with the invisible world where the mind cannot. So
I like
in a,
that.
I think it also, it was like when Glenn was talking about the religious church, you know, they were praying. And probably a lot of those prayers were coming from the mind and the mouth, you know, where in the energetic scene, they were coming more from the quantum realm, connecting from the heart. You can't, you know, you connect the invisible world through the heart, not the mind.
Yeah.
So that's where you want to ask God to really allow your heart to heal so you can experience this, because it's absolutely possible. All things are possible. So we have to have these beliefs.
And the thing is, with all the healing I'm doing, that there is that feeling I can, and then it does. I can't kicks in. I can understand now why I go through. And see, that's a roller coaster, and that's how I would describe my relationship with my mother. One moment we would appear to be getting on, and next thing I would be, it's like she just wasn't interested in me, or I don't know, it's hard to explain. But that's what I said, this woman is like being on a roller coaster, and that's how I would describe this, I can and I can't.
And she's pretty much the way you probably feel about your relationship with God. So your mother kind of mirrored that relationship with God even to this day.
And that's, again, like I said to Alex, I'm trying to get myself to a place to commit. But it's like I get to that edge and I can't quite do it.
Right. Know? And that's why there's still these blocks there. That's okay. It's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process.
Well, I actually found Glenn's, I actually tried to come back on to say thank you to Glenn for his question and Alex for his answer, particularly about the pain, because I thought, I feel that I have a fear of pain and that I have pushed it down. I've tried to just push it down, not want to deal with it. So I actually found Alex's answer both to my question and then Glenn's question and Alex's answer, particularly on the pain issue. I went, yeah, I think I've been suppressing pain. So, yeah. I, you know, it's funny enough, I didn't think I needed a trilogy again this morning, and yet, I mean, last night, but when this morning I woke up and went, yeah, you do. No,
okay,
I really do appreciate you giving the time to do this. I really do.
God bless. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get the trilogy. Say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
The limiting beliefs.
The limiting beliefs.
Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, tapping from the eyebrows to the side of the hands. Then back up to the eyebrows.
Okay.
Under the nose. Chin. Collarbones. Middle of the chest. Under the nipples.
Okay.
Side of the eyes.
Yep.
Under the eyes.
Under the eyes, yep.
And then the 9G.
9G, yep.
Okay, healing code. Both hands pointing at the temples. Left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge. Left hand high bridge, right hand brainstem. Okay, then the governing conception and energy centers. We're going to slide from the base three times without stopping. Then we're going to start at the base again. Slide up to the heart. Slide up to the throat. Slide down to the solar plexus. Slide up to the heart. Slide up to the forehead. Slide down to the solar plexus. Then slowly slide up, pausing at all the other centers. And then go ahead and repeat the healing code.
I repeat the healing codes, okay.
Afterwards.
Okay.
Top it off with another healing code.
Okay. All right, thank you. It's interesting, you know, because all of this has come from Alex saying on the, I think it was the abuse one, at the end he just said, you know, all our memories are lies. Our memories are full of lies. And he just sort of said, you know, your house burns down and you feel you can never find a safe place again.
Mm-hmm.
And all this healing I've done over these last few weeks came from that remark that Alex made. And you think,
mm-hmm.
well, he could have picked any other lie, if you want to call it. But he said that one, which took me back to that memory of when
mm-hmm.
my younger brother set a fire. And from that I realized I felt very much unforgiveness towards my mother for going to work. Because if he hadn't gone to work, then John would never have set that fire, you know. And all
mm-hmm.
that healing has come up from Alex making, and I don't believe things are happenstance. I think that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a reason he said that. And it has just
mm-hmm.
really opened up such a huge area that has needed healing for so long.
Wonderful.
And showed me this is, yeah, you know, this is where I need to heal. So, but yeah, no, thank you. I really do appreciate you and Alex taking this time. I do get so much out of it, and I, you know, it has helped me so much.
Well, God bless you, and we appreciate you too. And we'll probably meet you tomorrow if you're going to be up.
Yes, yes, I will. I have
okay.
some questions for Alex tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes, I will be there. Thank you.
All right. God bless
All
you,
right.
Marilyn.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right, so that's going to end our call for today. I want to thank you all for participating, and please come back again next week. God bless.